All right, well, we're going to get into this message that we've been talking about for a few weeks. You know, I think about these messages lately, especially because I don't have a whole lot of time to teach a whole lot, just kind of the way the services are going. And I'm okay with that because it's more important that the presence of the Lord be experienced and God move on people's lives than it is for me to talk. But I do believe He wants us to teach His Word. I think about some of these things that I'm teaching and I'm thinking, man, I used to teach 10 times as much on a Sunday morning as I am right now, but there's no way in the world anybody could take in all that stuff, right? So I had to kind of back off a little bit, right? Pastor Cindy had to tell me, she'd say, look, you're preaching two or three messages all at once, you know? You might want to back up just a little bit. So listen, here's how I figure. I only got just so much time with you, so I want to try to put as much as I can. All right, so let's get into this. When God speaks to us, this is based on the fact that Jesus, one of the things He commanded of His disciples is to hear God's voice. So we're focusing this whole bunch of messages that we're dealing with now and will continue for a while is focusing on the things that Jesus thought were so important that His disciples needed to know, that He made sure to teach them and made sure that it was written in the Word. Okay. One of those things was hear God's voice. Let me tell you, we live in a time right now where we better be able to hear and discern the voice of God. There are so many voices talking to us all the time. They're from all around. I mean, sometimes our parents, our peers, sometimes, you know, teachers and the world and media and sports stars and music people and, you know, movie stars or whatever. Everybody's got some kind of voice. And then now we have social media. I mean, you're having thousands of voices speak to you constantly. And so we better be able to discern what's God's voice and what's not. And so we've been talking about that. And what are some of the characteristics of that? How do we know when God is speaking? That we're told in the Word to test what we hear. And so just in the way of quick review, we said, first of all, when God speaks to us, it will always honor Christ. Always. Now, there are some people who believe that God does not speak to us today. In fact, I remember my wife saying when she first got saved, she'd hear people talking about, you know, God spoke to me. God said this to me. And she said that kind of spooked her. She's like, I don't know if I want God speaking to me. I think if I heard God speak to me, I'd want to run away. You know, she said that spooked her. It kind of scared her, the thought that God would speak to her, because the way she was raised was God was this great power in the sky that pretty much, if He spoke to you, you're probably in trouble. Right? So, but when God speaks to us, it will always, number one, honor Christ. And so Christ will always be honored. If in any way that Christ is not being honored in what's being said, then it's not God. Secondly, we said when God speaks to us, it will always be consistent with His Word. His Word is His will made known. His Word is an accurate history of the creation of the world. His Word is infallible. There are no mistakes in it. Now, there are people who make mistakes in interpreting from time to time, but His Word is absolutely infallible. When a person says, God speaks to me, then it better line up with and be consistent with God's written Word. Now, the problem with this one is there's so many people who have no clue what His written Word says because they never have read it. And so in order to be able to test what's being said to you, whether it's in prayer or somebody else speaking to you, claiming they got a prophetic word for you or whatever, it should always line up and be consistent with the Word of God. So I pray that God give every one of us a voracious appetite for the Word of God, that I can't get enough of it. I just want more of His Word. And there will be things in there that you don't understand as you're reading. And I just tell people, just keep reading. The Bible will eventually reveal a lot of those things as you keep reading. The things that you had questions about, many times as you keep reading, those questions will get answered, right? And I like to say that when you run into a hard passage in the Bible, just mark it. There's a diamond in the rough right there somewhere. You may not be able to find it right now, but as you continue to read and hear from God through His Word, something will click, something will open, and you'll find out that, man, there was a treasure right there. That's why it didn't make any sense to me. So it'll always be consistent with His Word. Then we said when God speaks to us, it will many times conflict with human wisdom and human will. So That's true. Many times when God speaks to us, it's not going to make natural sense because God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. So, you know, we use the example of when the axe head flew off the axe and fell in the water, and the prophet comes along that God spoke through and says, well, take a stick and throw it in the water. So he takes the stick and throws it in the water, and the axe head swims up and attaches itself to the axe. Well, that doesn't make any sense. None. And all through the scripture, you'll see all kinds of things like that. That made absolutely no sense. I remember, again, I've shared this before, but praying for a lady one time, and God told me to tell her, and I didn't want to tell her this because I thought it was crazy, but God told me to tell her she had a serious thyroid issue. She was very, very, very much overweight because of the thyroid issue, and God told me to tell her, spin around three times. By the third time, you'll be healed. I did not want to say that. Y'all understand? That's cuckoo, 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 right? That makes no sense, right? But that lady, by faith, knew, she recognized the voice of God. She knew it was God speaking through me. She did that. By the time she got to about 2.5, I'll never forget, she started screaming kind of and jumping and saying, I'm on fire, which I wasn't real sure about that either at the time. You know, it's like, but what happened? She started crying. God began to heal that lady. He healed her thyroid right there in that moment, in that crazy moment that made no sense. So much to the point that the next week, literally, she had to go buy a whole new wardrobe of clothes. None of her clothes fit her anymore. She began to rapidly lose weight over that because her problem was the thyroid, right? Well, that didn't make sense. But God said to do it. Well, His ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. There are times when God will tell you to do something that doesn't make sense. And as long as it doesn't violate His word, then understand that it may be God, because sometimes it doesn't make sense. Now, if it's going to bring harm to people or anything like that, well, certainly it wasn't God, right? Number four, we said when He speaks to us, it will challenge your faith always. God is always about building our faith, challenging our faith, causing us to exercise our faith. That's why He allows things to happen in our lives so that we will use our faith. It's like the disciples in the boat. Jesus is sleeping, and I talked about this not long ago. He's sleeping. The disciples go, hey, Jesus, wake up. We're all going to die here. They can't understand why He's sleeping. Well, He's sleeping because He'd already spoke the word. Go to the other side. Jesus actually believes what He says. He believed it so much, He went to sleep. And the disciples are freaking out. And they said, you know, we're all going to die. And Jesus wakes up and He calms the storm. But then He says, hey, guys, where is your faith? Where is your faith? He didn't tell them they had no faith. He's trying to tell them, you have faith. You had enough faith to deal with this situation. You just didn't see it. You didn't know it, and you didn't look for it. You weren't willing to exercise your faith, okay? So, again, when God speaks to us, it'll challenge your faith. Anytime the Lord has ever spoken to me or given some kind of, for instance, a word of knowledge, if you don't understand what that is, sometimes God, it's one of God's spiritual gifts that He gives to His church. And that word of knowledge, sometimes God will tell somebody something that there's no way they could have possibly known, right? Well, anytime God does that, your brain immediately goes into work against it, saying, no, that's impossible. That's stupid. No, no, don't do that. No, you're going to look like a fool, right? And so God gives me a very specific word of knowledge for a specific thing. And, you know, maybe a body part, certain body part that He's healing or wants to heal or whatever. And sometimes it's so specific and so crazy that, you know, it doesn't make sense to me. And I told y'all the other day, you know, one time I literally hear God saying through a word of knowledge, you got somebody in here. He said, I want to heal some people in here. He said, somebody in here that has a pain in the butt. And I'm thinking, a pain in the butt? I am not saying that. But it was real. So I asked for it. I said, is there anybody in here today? Lord says, somebody here's got a pain in the butt, and He's not talking about your husband. Is there anybody in here you need healing? You got a pain in the butt? We had four people, all four of them that day. We had just had them come forward and had people pray for them. All four of them were healed of the pain in the butt, right? So had I not wanted to say a pain in the butt, they'd have kept their pain in the butt, right? So it's kind of like, I mean, I had a hard time just imagining that God would even say the phrase pain in the butt, right? I'm just telling you, it'll challenge your faith. That didn't make a lot of sense, but it challenged my faith. I had to believe what he said, and then he met us. Then we said, when God speaks to us, it will find confirmation with spiritually mature people in your life. We all need somebody spiritually mature in our life. We all need some. Now, some people are so stubborn, so set in their ways, so arrogant, so prideful, they're not going to seek any kind of confirmation with anybody because they don't think anybody's more spiritually mature than them. And so, and I've seen it happen, right? And so they're not going to take any kind of correction. They're not just not going to do it. And so they stay in their issues. They stay in their problems. But God will confirm things. Now, I'm a pastor, but I have a pastor who speaks into my life. And there are times when, you know, especially when God challenges me for something that's impossible, there are times when I believe God said something and I'm going to go to my pastor and I'm going to say, look, I believe the Lord said this. Do you have any kind of, is there any confirmation with you? And there have been many times he'll say, yeah, I believe that's the Lord. I say a yes. When it came to buying property, this property that we got, again, I ran it by him. He said, yeah, I see a yes on that. Do it. And the Lord made a way and supernaturally provided the money and everything else to do it and pay it off, right? So there are things like that. Now, typically, what I do typically is looking for confirmation. If I believe the Lord has told me to do something, I'm looking for at least three confirmations, if that's possible, with spiritually mature people in my life. Okay. I call it the green light. Until I get the green light, it don't happen. I had someone been a few years back that approached me about, had been in ministry and approached me about, he said, you know, I'm kind of looking for a place to come. Would you be willing to hire me like as an associate pastor or whatever? And I said, you know, I respect this man and so on. And I said, look, all I can tell you is the way we do it is if I get a green light, the answer is yes. If I don't get a green light, the answer is no. And that's just how it is. I'm going to go before the Lord. I'm going to pray about it. Now, I will tell you that the way we do it here is we're not looking to try to hire somebody out from outside. We want to raise people up from inside. That's what Jesus did, right? And so we try to raise up our leaders from inside. And so I couldn't do this. Even though I would have loved to have this man here, I couldn't do that because I didn't have a green light from God, period. And I just told him it's no offense, but unless I have a green light, we don't move forward with it, all right? And so, again, God, when he speaks, then he will also confirm it through spiritually mature people. I didn't say Facebook. I didn't say, you know, Twitter or whatever else, Snapchat, or I don't even know how some of those work. But I didn't say to seek people's advice in those places because you'll get a plethora of answers, right? But now we get to a new place today. We're going to deal with this. This is the second main point. When God speaks to us, some will receive it. Now, we know the other side is that some won't. But when God speaks to us, some will receive it. I want to be one that receives it when God speaks, right? So when he speaks to us and it is received and it is put into practice, it will accomplish some things in our lives. Number one, what will it accomplish? It will produce good fruit. When I receive what God is saying and I put that into practice, because listen, you better do something more than just come sit in church and listen to a message. You ought to ask the Lord, how can I put this into practice? Okay. So when I put it into practice, it will produce good fruit. Now, the other side of that is we're always producing fruit of some kind. Whether we realize it or not, we're either producing good fruit or we're producing bad fruit. Anything that is done in obedience to God is always going to produce good fruit. Anything that's done in disobedience to God is always going to produce what? Bad fruit. Okay. So it will produce good fruit. Now, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 15 and 16, and we preached a whole series on this, but beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. I want to tell you, I don't have to tell you this. There are false prophets all over the place, right? There are people all over the place there are false shepherds, false prophets. They're not doing what they do for their ministry for the sake of people and raising people up and discipling people. It's all about them and their name, their popularity, their fame, so on and so forth. Well, that's a false prophet. So But then it says in verse 16, you will recognize them by their fruits. So fruit is very important. We will be judged by the fruit that we bear. And then it goes on and asks the questions, are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? So often when we take communion together, the scripture that we use about Jesus says, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it anew in the kingdom of God, right? Or the kingdom of heaven. So I remember the first time I saw this, it was a revelation to me. That never made sense. Well, what does that mean that Jesus is going to eat of the fruit of the vine? And I just believe the Lord showed me one day that what this is about is what Jesus is really talking about is not sitting down and drinking some juice again with his disciples, but that he would drink of their lives. I will not drink again of the fruit of the vine until that day I drink it anew in the kingdom. The fruit that he's going to drink of, the wine that he's going to drink of, the fruit of the vine that he's going to drink of is the fruit of our lives as we've submitted ourselves to him. So you and I are kind of like a, you know, sort of like a mini wine factory, right? Non-alcoholic, okay? So Jesus wants to taste of our lives. And so that's what he's talking about. As we surrender our lives to him, as we have true communion with him, not just going through the motion of eating some bread and drinking some juice or something, but true communion with him where our lives are joined with his, then he gets to taste of our lives. And I'm going to give you a scripture here in a moment of what the fruit is of the Spirit. Now, so again, this doesn't refer to whether or not these people, these false prophets, can gather people. When talking about false prophets, understand, false prophets can gather people. They're doing it all over the place, right? Or whether or not our leading brings what's called outward success. You know, I fell into that for a little while of comparing and thinking, oh, well, in order to be successful in this, I've got to do this and that, or we have to have a certain amount of people in the church and so on and so forth, because a lot of the church growth experts were talking about those things. And it's like, you know, that's nothing but a work of the flesh. And so what the Lord took me to, because I would always feel like, oh man, I'm such a failure and I can't, you know, here we are, and I'm, you know, struggling this and that, and, you know, and looking at it on the outside. And I'm talking about years ago when the church was just really tiny and just really struggling in a lot of areas. We had no money to do anything. It was tough. And so the Lord took me to the book of Jeremiah. How many of you know Jeremiah? How many of you would agree? I mean, a whole book is written that he pretty much penned, and the book is named after him, Jeremiah. How many of you believe in the kingdom of heaven, Jeremiah must have been a success to God? Come on, raise your hand if you believe he was a success. Okay, maybe not by the world standards, but by God's standards. And this is where he took me. He said, you know what? Here's the thing with Jeremiah. I told Jeremiah, Jeremiah, this is what I want you to speak. You're going to go speak this to these people. Well, that's wonderful. God, we're going to do that. I guess we'll build a church and we'll, you know, God's people will respond. But then he goes, but by the way, Jeremiah, just so you know, not one single one of them is going to listen to what you got to say. Jeremiah, in my heart and my mind, I'm thinking, well, yeah, obviously his life was a success. You know why? Because he did what God said to do. He said what God said to say, even if nobody else wanted to listen. So it was at that point in my life where I was able to come to the point of saying, God, I'm going to obey you no matter what people do. God, if I got to stand here and preach to empty chairs with nobody in them at all, I'm going to do that until you say not to. That's success. Obedience to God is what defines success, no matter what it looks like on the outside. Okay. So again, listen, cult leaders can gather people and seemingly have success. It happens all the time. It's about what kind of character is produced, though. That's what we're after. We want the character, the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so when the preaching that comes from this pulpit or any pulpit should be preaching that produces something that the Holy Spirit has said, that God has said, that's in agreement with his word, that produces the right kind of fruit in those that partake of it. It's about the kind of character that's produced. as a result of that voice speaking. So if a voice is not producing good fruit in those who are hearing and applying it, then something's wrong. So I want to always, listen, my desire, I want to always be a person who hears and speaks from the true voice of God. You don't need my opinion about anything. You want God's opinion about everything. Amen? So anything else is a waste of time. Now, Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23 tells us what the fruit of the Spirit is. So what kind of fruit of the vine does Jesus want a taste of in our lives? Well, here it is. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And then he tells us this, against such things there is no law. When those things are what's operating in our lives, and let me say it this way, if those things are what is operating our lives, because if that's what's evident in my life, that means the Holy Spirit is operating my life. Okay? So if that's what's evident in my life, I never have to worry about the law. I never have to worry about the penalty of the law. I never have to worry about any of that. As long as I'm being led by the Holy Spirit, the law does not even apply to me. I live above it. Amen? Not because I think I'm better, but it's kind of like this. If I'm driving the speed limit, I don't have to worry about Corey or Brother Daniel or one of the other officers here pulling me over, right? Right? So if I'm living according to the Spirit, then I don't have to worry about having some kind of penalty based on God's commands. So if I'm living according to the Spirit here, if this is the character of my life, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, then, you know, I'm not going to have a problem putting God first. I'm not going to have a problem not bowing to idols. I'm not going to have a problem not taking God's name in vain. I'm not going to have a problem keeping the Sabbath day holy. I'm not going to have a problem honoring my mother and my father. I'm not going to have a problem with murder in my heart. I'm not going to have a problem with committing adultery. I'm not going to have a problem with stealing. I'm not going to have a problem with lying. I'm not going to have a problem with coveting what God said is not mine. I'm not going to have that problem because it's the fruit of the Spirit in my life. That's where we want to get. And that's what God's Word will produce in us if we will receive it and apply it. And so it follows that if it comes from God, it will be consistent with one or all of those fruits. But let me just give you just a little taste, and we'll get back into it next week. But a little taste of the second point, and that is this, that when God speaks to us and it is received and put into practice, then it will bring peace to our spirits. Now, I know that that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, but I tell you what, this speaks to me because how many of you in this room have ever been in a situation where you just kind of had some inner turmoil? It was just no peace. Come on, raise your hand if you've ever felt that way. Just like no peace. There was just, man, something's wrong. There's dread. There's some kind of inner turmoil. But God has peace for those who will put His Word into practice. And it is an incredible peace. It's a peace. The Bible describes it as a peace that passes understanding. It's a peace that doesn't make sense. It's a peace where in the midst of chaos and trouble and a bad situation, somehow I have peace when I shouldn't have peace on a natural level. That's the kind of peace that comes from God. Now, that word peace is actually the Greek word eirene, and this is what it means. Understand, it doesn't just mean I feel okay. That word peace is prosperity, quietness, which in other words, it's a silencing of all the other voices, rest. And then this one's interesting, set at one again. When God gives us peace, He sets us at one again. You know, how many of you ever in your life ever felt like you were just falling to pieces? Come on. Yeah. What fixes you falling to pieces is peace. God takes all those pieces and He just puts them back together again. How many of you know that's a good thing to have in your life, right? Man, I need it. It's the opposite of confusion. By the way, the word confusion, con means against. Fusion means united or melted together to make one. So it's the opposite of confusion. So peace is the same thing as fusion, to make one. God brings all the pieces back together, and somehow, some way, He makes it all make sense. Amen? He sets us at peace. Confusion is the breaking or the pulling apart. But when He puts us at peace, It's pulling it back together. Last scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 33. It says, for God is not a God of confusion, but of peace. So the opposite of peace is confusion, right? And so thank God, God's not into making us confused. If I'm walking in confusion, if I have confusion in my life, I want to tell you, it did not come from God. But if I have a supernatural peace that passes understanding, that comes from God. And that comes from hearing His word and applying it to my life. So I would suggest that, you know, when you leave here today, don't just leave and go about doing everything, whatever else, and forget about everything that was said here today. Why don't you leave here and ask the Lord to help you to apply what you heard today? God, how does this apply to my life? How can I purposely begin to apply your word here to my life? How does this make a difference in my life? And begin to apply it. But I want to challenge you today. First off, before we leave today, if there's anyone in the room, you say, you know what, I've never been born again. Don't really know what that means. You know, I've met a lot of people over the years that if you were asking them if they were a Christian, they would say, yeah, I'm a Christian. What they mean by that is, well, I'm not an atheist and I'm not a Muslim or something like that. So the next question is, yeah, but have you been born again like Jesus said? It's simply this. It's what baptism actually represents. It's me laying down my old life and saying, God, I yield control to you. I lay my old life down. I want to take up your new life. The Bible says literally that when we're born again, literally, we become a new creature in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new has come. Now, I've run into a lot of people over the years who say, well, I don't need to be born again. I'm a good person already. Well, you know, we all think we're good to some degree because we can always find some poor sapsucker out there who's worse than us, right? We can always find somebody who's worse than us to justify ourselves. But if I've ever broken even one of God's laws, even one, then I'm a sinner and what I deserve is hell. And the truth of the matter is everybody in this room at some point in time in your life has broken not only one of His laws, but we've broken every one of His laws. Jesus said, no one is good but God, God alone. And so our goodness cannot save us. God doesn't have a big giant scale in heaven where He outweighs, you know, He weighs the good on one side and the bad on the other. And if the good outweighs the bad, well, He's going to say, yeah, come on in. You did good. You're never going to hear that from God. What He's going to want to know is, what did you do with the blood of my Son? Did you apply it to your life? Did you receive the salvation He came and died and rose to bring for you? So I'm just going to ask you today, if you've never been born again and you say, you know what, but I want to be. I don't care how young you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what any of that is. But you say, I want to be born again today. All we're going to do, the people of this church, all they're going to do is cheer for you. So I'm going to give you a few moments. I know this is it's a bold thing, but this isn't intended to embarrass anybody. But I believe that Jesus said, if you deny me before men, I'll deny you before my Father. So it's an opportunity to say, Jesus, I refuse to deny you. So Father, I thank you. I thank you, Lord God, for that peace that passes understanding. Lord, I pray today, Lord, if there's anyone in the room that doesn't know you in that way, that you'll continue to draw them and make yourself known, Father. The intention is never to condemn, but Lord, to give people an opportunity to take that step forward with you. So, Father, I thank you. I thank you for the people of this room. I thank you that they're here because they want more. They love you and they want more of you. And so, Father, I thank you for meeting them right where you are, right where they are, and making yourself known to them in an amazing way this week, Father. And God, I thank you that we know that you've appointed every person that's here, you've appointed for them to be here this morning. God, you foresaw this day even before creation. And Lord, you intended for it to happen. So Father, I pray, Lord, for your people. Lord, I pray, continue to speak to them. Help us to open our ears to hear from you clearly what you're speaking to us. Help us to discern your voice and know, Father, your voice from the voice of all the others in the world, Father. I thank you, Father, that you've empowered your people. Lord, to heal the sick, to raise the dead, to cast out devils, to heal incurable diseases like leprosy. You've anointed your people to speak forth truth that changes people's destination from hell to heaven, God. Lord, we thank you that you've anointed us to go and make disciples, God. You've anointed us, Lord, to be your representatives and your ambassadors on this earth as your people. So, Father, I pray, help each one of us to take that very, very serious. I pray use each one of them this week just to share their story of what God has done and is doing in their life with someone who needs to hear it. Lord, I thank you for your anointing that is upon them. Lord, as we go through this series, this teaching, I pray, God, help us to have more and more clarity of being able to discern your voice in our lives. Give us a voracious hunger for your word, Father, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.